And I need to tell you, I know better. All of those exciting things that you've said, I know better. But I want to tell you, the time we've had here, a brief time in the 62 plus years we've been in ministry, have been exciting times. Matthew, you'll find this out someday. You don't get a resign in this kind of recognition when you're a director of missions. They just say, hit the road, Jack, you know, and that's what I always did. But the variety of you who have come just has excited us. The highs and the lows of our ministry are represented by you, and the opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus was offered to us by many of you, especially those of you who joined hands with us and what we were doing. There is, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, should you want to go there, there is a scripture. I will use that as a basis for what I'm going to say today. Some of you I will allude to without any attempt to embarrass you, and I do want you to know that it in no way, absolutely no way, is this to be presented to you as boastful. When you walk with the Lord and He allows you the opportunities that He allows you, by the way, let me encourage you, take advantage of it. When God says, I'd like to see you do this, do it. It'll be a blessing to you. But when you do that, God opens doors, and all you can do is walk through them. This was one of those doors that God opened. I do, in a sense of the word, wish to apologize to you because we stayed such a short time. And I have known that the health issues that we are dealing with, oh, by the way, they have re-diagnosed me. You know, when they run out of pills, they'll find something else wrong with you and give you some more pills. And they re-diagnosed me and gave me a pill, and it's worked. It has just really worked. For the last 2 weeks. Peggy said, now, you're not going to think about unretiring, are you? She has been on my case, I'm telling you. She has convinced me that a cane pole, a can of worms, and a riverbank is all I need to be happy. And perhaps that is true. Dan, there will probably be some place along there that needs a chaplain for their basketball program. I hope. Okay. Brad, there's a racetrack, right? A big dirt track right up the road, West Plains. Big dirt track. And over to Batesville there's a car. Anyway, I think there'll be an opportunity maybe there. But as we traveled this and came to this place, let me say to you for the first time, I'm satisfied. I really am. I'll relate to that. I'll allude to that in just a bit. Verse 6 in chapter 4. Would you want to stand? You've been sitting for a while, and just honor the word of God by doing so. Paul, in addressing a young friend of his named Timothy, to whom he has delegated the responsibility of pastoring the church on the island of Crete. Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure. By the way, if you need to parenthesize that, my time for me to go to heaven. And by the way, I want to tell you, when you get 83-year-old, if you get 83-year-old, heaven becomes a very good-looking place. Amen. Okay? the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Finally, what I'm saying, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved him and his appearance. Father God, may I speak. May I speak with a degree of humility that is deserving of this text. And may I also speak with truth in my mouth and love in my heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. A question class. I'm notorious at asking questions and giving tests here. What time is lunchtime? You're supposed to say 12 o'clock. What time is lunchtime? Well, about four of you agreed. Okay. No, I won't go that long. This, I promise you, I'll make every effort for this to be brief. That is. And if my effort fails, it won't be real long. Okay. Paul is addressing his retirement lately with the health issues when they told me I'd had a congestive heart attack and that I had a congestive heart failure, that I had an enlarged heart and all of that kind of stuff. I wondered, you know, hey, it's all right. I do want you to know when you hear, if you hear, that I went to heaven, do not cry. Rejoice for me that I have lived a while for that very purpose. Okay. Now, let me address three things that Paul mentions here. And if I offend any of you, it was not on purpose. But it was such a good example, I should not pass it. He says, one, I have fought the good fight. Now, it seems we're going to fight. Now, Dan, thank you. Thank you for not telling about some of those times when I'm like Mike Letterman. I never saw a referee I really liked. If you're an official, I'm sorry. But anyway, if you've got any motivation in you, you'll fight. Paul says, I fought the good fight. Now, by the way, that's the fight of faith. And I want you to know something. If this church continues, if you in your walk with Jesus Christ continue, you will fight the fight of faith. It isn't automatic. It isn't handed to you on a tray. You work for it. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you're saved through faith. But that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast. But, listen to the next verse. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God before ordained in us. Now, by the way, if the demons of hell and other problems don't plague you, you probably aren't doing much for Jesus. Sorry about that. Fought the good fight. I do want you to know that I fought that fight with the best companion one could ever have. You've heard it. The clients have heard it. I have a sermon that I preach on my heroes. Remember? My heroes are preachers' wives. Whoop. preachers' wives. I can't find her. Somewhere back there is Brother Jimmy's wife, I think. Anyway. And coaches' wives. I can remember occasions when Nancy and the women's coach had to come and stand behind our bench because of the rowdiness of people. I remember occasions when on our bench, the language behind us over at, by the way, that church over there in Kentucky, they come here, one of the churches there comes here and works with us every summer. I was trying to think, Berea College. When the the prejudice, the racial prejudice, was just blasting us. Nick's back there grinning. They didn't hit his race. But sure, they hit yours bad. In fact, Dad walked right out in the middle of a regional tournament basketball game and said, "I am not putting up with this." Fighting the good fight of faith. He kept the faith of those men who played under him, to whom he had promised his best. And so he just walked out there. I thought, I'm going to get a coach again. They didn't kick him out of the game. But listen, you and your partner are champions. And I pray to God you have a mate like I've had for 62 years. She has walked along beside and many times ahead of and done that which is right in the sight of God. And she's been such a blessing. And I think you've seen that in Peggy Loreen. He said, "I fought a good fight." Thank you. Thank you, New Life. The only fight that I'm as serious as sin, the only fight that we've had to fight here, is with the demons of hell. There are some dark places here. Some reasons for it, I think. But there's some dark places here. And maybe we came for that purpose. Okay? I've finished the race. Now, I could spend a half a day talking about the race. That's that 62 plus years that God reached down one day and said, "I'd like for you and Peggy to be in the ministry." Now, honest confession to you is that I didn't think, Matt, there was anything in the world but pastoral ministry. You know, and so that was, I'm just going to be a pastor. Well, I was for a while, but then I spent 37 years working for a mission board, or Peggy and I did. When I say I, let me assure you that's we, okay? And we spent that time working the mission board, but all along, there was that opportunity afforded us to stay in the race, to stay in the race. Now, the race is this. Paul describes it another place as finishing the course. You know, some of you may have been track stars in high school or in college, and you young guys, maybe, you know, I bet you your dream is to be an NBAer, right? Something's wrong with you if it's not. Okay. Now, and I hope and pray that's so for you. That would be such a good thing. If you walk that race with faith in Jesus Christ. And that means simply this, that you're going down life's road, doing what God wants you to do, and every day is okay. Every day's fine because you're in a race with Jesus. In that race, and please do not take this wrong. This is not a boastful statement, or these are not boastful statements. But in that race, Peggy and I had the opportunity of being involved in 68 new church starts. I wish I could tell you that all 68 of them are preaching the gospel today. I cannot tell you that. But many, many of them are. And that's to God's glory. If someone, or even the Lord, had told me back there in 1955 that would be a part of my race, I think I'd have thrown up my hands and quit, because that just seemed to be more than... And by the way, in three different states, in two different countries, we've had that opportunity to plant a church. Some more than one. And that is something. Here's the reason I'm making that point. That is something that when you do what the Lord Jesus wants you to do with your life in the race, let me tell you, there's high points. There's highlights. There's those things that are beyond explanation for the blessing that is in them. And so we've had that opportunity. Humbly I say that. We've had that opportunity. We had the opportunity of serving Jesus in three different states. Well, four if you count where we started, which we didn't stay long. And we've had opportunity to minister in those states for the sake of Jesus Christ. In that race, God gave us, and I don't know how it happened, it just happened. One day, I was sitting in the bleachers at Indiana Tech. Peggy was working there, and I got this wild idea that I probably ought to be chaplain of that basketball team. And I asked Dan Klein, Dan, thank you and Nancy for being here today. I asked Dan, do you need a chaplain? And he said, what does a chaplain do? I said, I'll show you as we go along. He said, join the team. And what a great experience that was. And what a door it opened. Because it wasn't long then that we were out at Bearfield with Brad and Judy. And when Brad was flagging down, whoo, you talk about being tough race. When Brad was flagging guys, and every once in a while he'd slap a black flag on them. And oh, they were so sweet about that. But I met these wonderful people and had that opportunity to serve out there with Tom Ish and the racetrack. And that led to other tracks and other ministries. And, you know, listen, the world's waiting for us, folks. That's what I'm going to tell you. The world's waiting for us. You need to be a bright, shining light. You need to be a savior, a flavor of salt to this world that's warped and upside down and everything else you can say about it. You need that. And God's given us that opportunity. In chaplaincy, I met wonderful young men like Nick and others. He's not the only one. If he's the only one, I'd have gave up. But no, there were others. And still have contact with those young men as they're becoming men and finding their places in society. Listen, they need someone doing that. They need someone there that'll, you know, Coach Klein says, man, you're playing rotten. You know, they need somebody to pat them on the back. Dan would never say that, okay. But in that race, as we started those missions, I wish I could tell you that every one of them was perfect. Now, I humbly, very much so, I want to recognize Carl Heimstra and his wife, Shirley. They're here today. Thank you. I don't even know whether you knew I was going to retire today or not, Carl.
Word got out.
Word got out. Okay. Thank you, Carl. Carl came to me one day and told me something, and I just didn't believe him and sort of got short and smart with him. But you know what? He proved to be exactly right. And Carl, I again apologize for not taking your word. We had done some things. He worked with us, and oh, it was over at Tree of Life in Gary. We did a lot over there. But anyway, I didn't listen to Carl, and I should have. Be careful. Before you say no, before you say that's not right, just spend a little time talking to the Lord. I appreciate Carl and Shirley so much. They were dear friends, and I did not treat them right. Please, please forgive me. In that race, that 62 years that I don't know. The doctors told me the other day that they could probably get me another 3 or 4 years if I behaved. All right. I will try. I will try. And I have come to the place that where a fishing pole, a can of worms, and a riverbank are very appealing to me. In that race, we had opportunity to serve in several areas so that we could say, I have finished the course. Now, several of you alluded to my personality. You may not have understood it was that, but you alluded to my personality. No, I won't go sit down in a Cracker Barrel rocking chair looking off the deck into the Spring River. I'll probably be down in the Spring River, but anyway, I won't do that. That's just not me. If I meet someone that I need to smile at, I will smile to them. If I meet someone I need to tell, Jesus loves you, I'm going to tell them. But I am finishing the course without, listen to me, without any complaint whatsoever. If God takes me to heaven before this little morning session's over, that's okay. No problem. I've lived 65, 66 years working that direction. And I can say to you, hallelujah, it's been upward, 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 upward all the time. And I'm getting closer, closer, closer all the time in that race. I met wonderful people like Julie Phillips. You who are in the Sunday school class, Brother Dan, Julie, we've had you on our prayer list for a good long while now, and it is so a blessing to have you here. She became a dear, dear friend. And Carol, where's old Doug? You tell him. Okay. I was going to bawl him out and let you get the blame for it. But anyway, when you're just following along with the Lord and the Lord opens doors, golly, what a blessing it is to meet the wonderful people. And by the way, when you get down close to the end, guess what's most important in your life? Now, I don't know, I hope you don't misunderstand this. But it's not the churches you pastored. It's not the associations you directed. It's not the missions you had the opportunity to start. It's the people. Those people who reached out to you and love you, and those people who walk beside you and work with you. It's the people. Bob said, by the way, in this assembly, he probably has known us about as long as anyone, he and Shauna. In 1991, we met. They have become so dear to our hearts. We never have, so unless, you know, I had one of the seizures that I had the other day, and I wondered, it was a pretty bad one, and I wondered, now, is this the way Alzheimer's starts? Anybody here want to tell me how Alzheimer's starts? From your experience. Okay. I've run that race. Now I'm finishing the course. And this is what I want to say about that. Listen, church. And by the way, thank you, Columbia City New Life folks, for being here today. Thank you. Thank you, friends who've come. And I do want to insist that we've got a couple of guys, and they're going to guard the door. You got to stay for lunch. Okay? We do want you to. That'll be a time of fellowship where we can talk with you personally, one to one. Now, it is no greater blessing than to turn this ministry back over to Brother Jimmy. He had the vision. That day when he walked into our office over in Fort Wayne and said, Brother TV, I want you to help us start, Carl and I, a new work in Huntington. Well, geez, Huntington Baptist Church was doing good. No, Amos wasn't the pastor then. Another guy was. But anyway, they just called the pastor. They were doing good. And I informed him, lazy man that I am, they don't need another church in Huntington. We got a good one out there. He said, no, you don't understand. I want to start a church downtown that ministers to people. What a ministry this has become. to street people, to hungry folks, to homeless folks, and to you. Let's just give God the glory that there's a ministry here for you, okay? And as I stated to begin with, you know, you don't often have the opportunity to pass the baton on, because usually when you resign a church, you leave and then they pick out somebody in 5 or 6 months after the smoke's cleared up and the damage is over. And today, as I step aside and as Jimmy takes over again, let me tell you, folks, you'll never find a man with a greater vision. He's a visionary. Now, there's a problem with visionarians, okay? There's a problem, and that is that they don't hang on long enough with organization and development. They've got another vision. They're seeing something else. They're seeing more and more and more. And listen, enjoy that. Rejoice in that. That leaves you a place to serve the Lord Jesus. And you pick up those ministry things that you see needs to be done. Do them and keep going forward. I'll conclude like this. I had absolutely no idea when we came out here and tried to offer what little help we could that this ministry would become what it is. By the way, Jimmy did neither. He didn't know what it was going to become. And he don't know now. Now, good English would have said he does not know now what it will become on down the road. But I'll guarantee you this. Whatever it becomes, it under his leadership, God will lead, God will direct, and it'll be of the Lord. And by the way, class, that makes it good, does it not? For Peggy and I have to have been here a year and a half, which was not our plan. I really was going to get old and gray while I was here. But for us to be here a year and a half has been such a sweet blessing, and we want to say to you, thank you. Thank you so very much that you allowed us that privilege. We will expect your prayers and that support. And we promise you our prayer and our support. And we will never, never forget you. Even when I get to heaven, won't forget you. For those of you, okay, thank you. For those of you who come a ways to be here today, thank you, thank you. I want to meet you. I want to meet these guys. I've seen them, but they were too little to understand that an old gray-haired man knew anything. Right? Okay. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Columbia City. Now would you stand, please?